It's Wednesday, April 15th, and welcome to Higher IQ. You've probably heard the word blockchain 100 times. You might associate it with Bitcoin, with crypto crashes, with people who won't stop talking about decentralization at parties. But underneath all the hype and all the wreckage is a genuine technological breakthrough that solved a problem computer scientists had been working on for decades. And the most consequential application of that breakthrough isn't Bitcoin. It's something most people haven't heard of yet, a type of digital currency called a stablecoin that is quietly beginning to rewire how money moves around the world. On October 31, 2008, while the global financial system was collapsing, an anonymous person or group using the name Satoshi Nakamoto posted a 9-page paper to an obscure cryptography mailing list. The paper was titled Bitcoin, a Peer-to-Peer Electronic Cash System. Nobody knows who Nakamoto is. They participated in online discussions about Bitcoin for about 2 years, then disappeared in 2011 and have never been heard from since. Their Bitcoin wallet, untouched since 2010, holds an estimated 1.1 million coins. The paper's real contribution wasn't Bitcoin as a currency. It was the underlying technology, the blockchain. To understand why it matters, you need to understand the problem it solved. Every financial transaction requires trust. When you send money through a bank, you're trusting the bank to update its ledger honestly, subtract from your account, add to someone else's. The bank is the trusted middleman. This works, but it has costs. The bank charges fees, the bank has business hours, the bank can freeze your account, and the bank can fail. The 2008 financial crisis was a failure of the institutions people had trusted to manage the ledger honestly. Nakamoto's paper proposed a system where the ledger isn't kept by any single institution. Instead, it's maintained simultaneously by thousands of computers around the world, each holding an identical copy. When a new transaction occurs, it's broadcast to the entire network. Computers on the network race to validate the transaction by solving a complex mathematical puzzle, a process called proof of work. The first computer to solve the puzzle adds the transaction to a block of recent transactions, and that block is chained to all previous blocks, creating a permanent, sequential record. Once a block is added, it can't be altered without redoing the mathematical work for every block that came after it, which would require controlling more than half of all the computing power on the network. In practice, this makes the record tamper-proof. This solved what computer scientists call the Byzantine Generals problem. How do you get a group of people who don't know or trust each other to agree on a single version of the truth? Nakamoto's answer was to make lying more expensive than telling the truth. If you want to cheat the system, you'd need to outspend the entire rest of the network. The genius was aligning economic incentives with honest behavior. The blockchain that Bitcoin runs on handles about 7 transactions per second. For comparison, Visa handles about 65,000. This is one reason Bitcoin never became a practical payment system for everyday purchases. It's slow. It's energy intensive. Bitcoin mining consumes more electricity than many countries, and the transaction fees spike when the network is congested. Bitcoin found its niche as a speculative asset, and for some, a store of value. But as a technology for moving money quickly and cheaply, it fell short. In 2015, a programmer named Vitalik Buterin launched Ethereum, which took the blockchain concept and generalized it. Where Bitcoin's blockchain records transactions, Ethereum's blockchain can execute programs. These programs, called smart contracts, automatically execute when predefined conditions are met. Think of a vending machine. You put in money, the machine gives you a product, no human intermediary required. Smart contracts do the same thing with financial agreements, insurance payouts, supply chain verification, or any process where two parties need to trust that the rules will be followed. The problem with Bitcoin and most cryptocurrencies is volatility. If you're a business trying to use crypto to pay a supplier, the value of your payment could change by 5 or 10% between the time you send it and the time it arrives. That's not a currency. That's a speculation. Stablecoins were created to fix this. A stablecoin is a digital token designed to maintain a fixed value, usually pegged one-to-one to a traditional currency like the US dollar. The most prominent dollar-backed stablecoins are USDC, issued by Circle, and USDT, issued by Tether. Together, they account for more than 80% of the stablecoin market, which currently exceeds $300 billion in total supply. The mechanics are straightforward. For every USDC in circulation, Circle holds $1 worth of reserves, primarily in US Treasury bills and cash. You can redeem a USDC for an actual dollar at any time. The token moves on blockchain networks like Ethereum and Solana, which means it can be transferred to anyone with a digital wallet, anywhere in the world, in seconds, at a cost of pennies. It operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with no bank holidays and no business hours. This matters because the existing system for moving money internationally is shockingly outdated. SWIFT, the messaging network that banks use for cross-border transfers, was designed in 1973. It doesn't actually move money. It sends messages between banks telling them to move money through a chain of intermediary institutions called correspondent banks. A transfer from the US to Kenya might pass through three or four banks, each taking a cut and adding processing time. The average global remittance fee is about 6.5%. If a construction worker in Houston sends $200 home to his family in Guatemala, roughly $13 disappears into the banking system. That's a meaningful tax on people who can least afford it. Stablecoins bypass the correspondent banking chain entirely. A sender converts dollars to USDC. The USDC moves on the blockchain directly to the recipient's region, and a local partner converts it back to the local currency. Circle has built an entire network for this called CPN, the Circle Payments Network. Partner financial institutions in dozens of countries handle the conversion. The recipient never touches crypto. They just receive their local currency, faster and cheaper than a wire transfer. The on-chain transfer itself costs fractions of a cent. The total all-in cost, including conversion fees, typically runs 1 to 3%, roughly half the cost of traditional remittances in many corridors. The Genius Act, signed into law in July 2025, created the first federal regulatory framework for stablecoins in the United States. It requires issuers to maintain one-to-one reserves in liquid assets like treasuries, subjects them to regular audits, and restricts issuance to institutions with appropriate charters. Europe's MiCA regulation does something similar. The regulatory clarity has accelerated institutional adoption. Visa and MasterCard are both piloting stablecoin settlement. Daily stablecoin transaction volumes have surged from roughly $1 trillion before the Genius Act to $4 trillion after. So what's the honest case against this? Several things. First, stablecoins are only as safe as their reserves. USDC is audited monthly and backed by treasuries. Tether's USDT, which is larger, has faced persistent questions about the quality and transparency of its reserves. If a major stablecoin issuer experienced a run, the equivalent of a bank run but without deposit insurance or access to the Federal Reserve's emergency lending, the consequences could ripple across the entire crypto ecosystem. Second, there's the irreversibility problem. Blockchain transactions can't be reversed. If you're defrauded, there's no chargeback, no customer service line, no dispute process. The consumer protections that traditional banking provides don't exist yet on these rails. Third, and this connects to Saturday's Petrodollar episode, if USDC becomes a dominant global payments rail, it extends American dollar hegemony into digital infrastructure. Every transaction flowing through a dollar-backed stablecoin reinforces the dollar's centrality. That's a feature if you're American. If you're a central banker in Brazil or India, it's a concern. You're watching a private American company build the payment rails that your citizens use, denominated in a currency you don't control. The technology works. The cost savings are real. The speed improvement is genuine. But the question of who controls the infrastructure, who bears the risk when something breaks, and whose currency dominates the network are all unresolved. The blockchain solved the trust problem between strangers on the internet. It hasn't yet solved the governance problem of who writes the rules for the financial system that gets built on top of it. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. The blockchain is a ledger maintained by thousands of computers instead of one bank, and it solved a genuine computer science problem about how strangers agree on the truth without trusting each other. Stablecoins are the most practical application so far. Digital dollars that move on internet rails instead of through the 1970s banking system. They're faster, cheaper, and available 24 hours a day. But they carry real risks. Reserve transparency, no consumer protections, no deposit insurance, and the geopolitical question of what it means when a private American company's digital dollar becomes the default way money moves around the world. The old system is slow and expensive. The new system is fast and unproven. Both involve a bet about who you trust with your money. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.